There's so many layers to the veil. One of the layers is right above us in our own sky. What are they spraying up there? Barium and aluminum, we know that. But why? Is it to block out radiation from the sun? Or could it be to block out a sun itself? Marshall Masters is a former CNN science features news producer, freelance writer, television analyst, and the publisher of YOWUSA.com. Since 1999, he's been researching Earth changes and Nibiru flyby-related topics, including sustainable survival communities, catastrophic crop circles, impact events, and future technologies. Like many others, Marshall sees a dark cloud coming. What makes him different is that he also sees a silver lining, a noble and inspiring Star Trek future. He is also the author of Crossing the Cusp, Surviving the Edgar Cayce Pole Shift, and Being in It for the Species, The Universe Speaks. He's been a regular guest here on the show before. It's been a little while since we've had him on or even discussed the topic of Nibiru. However, I keep seeing more and more of this elusive 12th planet cropping up everywhere I turn. Marshall, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Chris. Good to be back on.
Excellent. It's a pleasure having you. Like I said, it's been a while since we've had you on. So what have you been up to over the last few months?
Well, we've been working steadily on our signs articles. My wife, Jennifer, is doing those now. And it's tough because the news is so much and it's so bad. And so when she's doing these articles, she has to actually filter out a lot of stories because otherwise it would turn into like encyclopedic length articles. And, you know, the big thing that we keep seeing, this constant trend, is with fireballs, all right, and meteors. The stats are really, really alarming. And, you know, this is empirical data that's coming to us from the AMS. We're just simply doing a detailed analysis of what they're reporting on their site. And based on what we're seeing, we really feel that there's a high likelihood of some kind of serious impact event sometime, I'd say between this summer and the end of the year.
Now, when you say impact event, do you mean comets, asteroids? I'm sorry, asteroids is the proper term. Asteroids falling. You're not talking about a Nibiru impact event.
No, Nibiru is never going to impact us directly. Anybody that tells you that is they're drinking the bong water.
Well, I've heard that coming from debunkers. Debunkers will say, oh, and it's ridiculous. These people think that Nibiru is going to come and hit us when that's actually not the case. The threat from Nibiru is the gravitational force and then disruption that it creates, depending on which side of the sun it passes by.
And the asteroids that it chunks at us as it's coming by.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who is that mystery woman?
This is Cherie.
Yes.
Hey, Cherie. All right.
How are you doing, Marshall?
You nailed it. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too. It's been a while since we had you on the broadcast.
Yeah,
I see that happening, though. I see what happened in Chelyabinsk, I guess it was called, in Russia.
Chelyabinsk.
Yeah, just a few years ago. That meteor alone was bad enough. And can you imagine? I mean, what do you think is going to happen that's any bigger than that? Because any bigger than that, if it hits somewhere in New York or somewhere in Los Angeles in nearby, it would be awful.
Well, actually, Chelyabinsk was big, okay? It was an airburst event, and it was fortunate because it airbursted over on an uninhabited region. It released the equivalent energy of 20 to 30 Hiroshima atomic bombs. Think about that.
Wow.
If something like that, a Chelyabinsk, were to pop off over Moscow, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, London, something like that, what do you think the death toll would be?
Oh, it would be huge. Yeah.
Horrible.
And You know, the interesting thing is that the day that happened, NASA had everybody's attention peeled to a different area of the sky. There was a comet, or excuse me, there was an asteroid coming through, and they had all kinds of television coverage about if it went through the keyhole, that it would be in an Earth-crossing orbit, and it would come back years in the future and impact us, and it'd be a big disaster. And they really got a lot of media coverage on it, and as it turned out to be a non-event. Nothing happened. And that was the same day that Chelyabinsk detonated over Siberia. And the interesting thing was NASA didn't see it coming, nor did the Russian agencies see it coming. Nobody saw it coming. And NASA was really browbeaten by the media, which surprised me because they're big corporation suck-ups. And but still the same, NASA was made to account for why didn't you see this thing coming? And they finally said, well, we didn't see it coming because it came out of the sun.
Ooh.
It came out of the sun? Not around the sun,
yeah.
But out of the sun.
When we say it came out of the sun, we came this, you know, in other words, it flew at us from near the sun.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always speculated that the sun is actually a stargate, and I wonder if it came through. More speculation is that the sun is actually the other side of a black hole.
Those are interesting ideas. It's kind of out of my field of research, so
fair enough.
I couldn't comment on that, but one thing is for certain. The sun, whatever it is reacting to an interloper. Something is coming in, and it's reacting to that, and in turn, Earth is reacting to what is happening with the sun. But getting back to the meteors and the fireballs, because we've been following AMS data. If you go to my website, marshallmasters.com, or Yowza, YOWUSA.com, and just click on the science articles, and we actually have a category up there so you can go through and look at them. We have 8 of those articles now. And you can go and see, because we have been tracking this, all right, over the many months that we started this series. And yeah, it reminds me of Roadrunner Coyote cartoon, you know, how Roadrunner would zip it around, and so Coyote would get an Acme rocket and light the fuse, and zoom, goes straight up, and then zoom, comes straight down into a canyon, poof, you know, it was one of those, and, you know, I love Roadrunner Coyote cartoons, but we have a situation here where the Coyote got on a Acme rocket, lit the fuse, took off, and he's still going up. He's not coming down. He's going up. And he's going up more and more and more and more and more and more. And the recent trends that we're seeing right now really tell us that we're going into a time of year where statistically there's no more fireballs.
Something is coming for sure. Stay tuned. Marshall Masters, right on the other side.
Beyond the Veil.
All right, let's travel deeply down the path of Nibiru. What exactly do we see in the sky right now? Let's analyze this for a moment. Many people have reported another sun next to the sun. I've never seen it. And every time I look to the sky, I look for something coming from the direction of the sun. But then again, I can't look at the sun the way I used to as a child, and that is because we have barium and aluminum in the sky right now. Why are we spraying barium and aluminum? Is it because we're trying to impede and hinder visibility? Or are we genuinely trying to block out radiation from the sun or suns? Or is there another purpose to what we're spraying in the sky? But Marshall, you've been on top of this, both the chemtrail situation and the Nibiru situation. So what would you say about that analysis? Could they be trying to block out visibility? And have you come across any pictures or video evidence that you believe is in fact Nibiru instead of just some kind of photographic anomaly, which the ones that I've seen, unfortunately, the possibility of photographic anomaly is so high that I have to discard the photo or at least put it to the side and look for more evidence to substantiate it.
Well, I can tell you I get submissions every day from people, and 99% of them, they just don't pass the smell test. I'm a pretty tough customer when it comes to this, and I've been doing it quite a while. You know, have I come across images that are submitted that are the real deal? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I publish that. I don't hold back. When I come across something that's worth putting up on the site, you know, I don't publish stuff just to publish stuff. When I get around to putting up something on the site, it's because I feel it's worth reading it. And unless it passes that criteria, I just don't do it. When it comes to images that people send in, you know, one of the things I do is I always write them back if it's interesting. And I just say, well, what did you see with your own two eyes? And that's when I get a whole mishmash of answers. Well, and I'm looking for photographs that are really substantiating an eyewitness report that somebody says, I looked up, I saw this, I took a picture of it. That's what I really want to hear. And so that's typically what I publish. And folks send a lot of stuff. There's lens aberrations. What you have to keep in mind is right now, this system is on the opposite side of the sun. And looking into the sun, now you made an excellent point. Actually, you made a couple of excellent points. One with chemtrails. And chemtrails, you know, I agree with Dane Wigington. It's just like there's layers and layers and layers of bad news on this stuff. I just, you know, really, really hate them. We published on our site, my wife and I came down with chemtrail flu. And actually, it was Alex Jones who broke the story on that, a doctor that he works with, who had contracted it. And thanks to that, we, you know, when we found that and we were finding out what was really hitting us, that was when we were able to effectively deal with it. And I'm going to tell you, they call it a flu, chemtrail flu. It's not. It's a mycoplasm. And it's bioengineered weapon. They sprayed it intentionally. You look at the CDC charts, you could see where no way was this a natural phenomena, because natural events have real ziggy-zaggy lines, all right? This was just straight up, straight down, boom. It just was like a perfect, you know, looked like a pitched tent. And something like that is not a natural seasonal, you know, flu bug. That is something that's weaponized. And they were spraying it during spring break. And I got it. Then my wife, Jennifer, got it from me. And I can tell you there were several moments there where we were wondering which one of us was going to drive the other to the emergency room. It's that bad. We found ways to treat it, and the most effective actually was to get people have lung problems. You get a little can't remember, it looks like you're smoking a hookah.
The electronic cigarettes.
No, this is a device that people medicate their lungs will use.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And we used that with colloidal silver, and that and some other things that we did knocked it out. But it was something that it was 3.5-4 weeks of misery. You know, it wasn't like 5 to 7 or 10 days with the flu or a cold. This thing, when you got it, it would just hang on to you. I went in to see my physician, and she didn't want to get near me. You know, it was like, you stay at that end of the examination room, and I'll stay at this one because I know you got it. And so,
well, what's interesting, Marshall, is recently Cherie pulled out what looked like a gray hair. However, it seemed to be covered in plastic.
Yeah, I mean, they're spraying, they're putting new stuff into the spray. There's this new black spray that they're putting up. This is really starting to get very, very ugly and very, very sinister. And I think that, yeah, at one level, it certainly does make it much more difficult to get a good observation of Nibiru. I don't know. I can't say that that would be the sole thing, but what I can tell you is that the images that I publish that I feel are credible images are always at altitude. It's, you know, 20, 30,000 feet in an airplane or 10,000 feet at the top of a volcano near the equator. The only other times I was able to find images that were suitable was NOAA buoys in the Gulf of Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico, because these buoys are located in areas where they weren't spraying. And so if it's an area where they're spraying, then we're going to have a really tough time getting a credible image. I mean, we can get stuff that's close, but as the saying goes, no cigar. And I don't want to put up something that's marginal. I don't think it's good to do. I see a lot of stuff that goes up, and people are looking, and they're making mistakes. I look at it positively because they're looking. That's the big thing. They're looking.
I want to get your take on the other side, Marshall, about how people can tell the difference when they're going through photos, because I know a lot of people are very, very interested in the subject, and they're trying to do the best research that they can. We'll be right back. So everybody's out there researching and trying to get to the truth, and it's very admirable. But sometimes, as Marshall said, when you're looking for something, sometimes you can misanalyze a situation. That's why it's very important to put biases to the side when looking at anything, and look at everything with an open mind, but also with an equal amount of skepticism. And that's the only way you're going to get to the truth, especially if you believe in something. I'll give you an example. I believe in UFOs. However, every time I look at the sky, I have to be that much more skeptical of what I'm looking at, because I don't want to allow my belief to get in the way of my observation. And that's because I'm genuinely seeking the truth. There are those out there that seek confirmation bias. They don't even seek confirmation of their own biases. They don't even realize they're doing it sometimes, but it's a question for the individual. What is your path? Are you really trying to look beyond the veil, or are you trying to confirm what you believe? Big difference. Marshall, how can people discern the good information from the bad information out there when it comes to something like Nibiru? Because I imagine that if there is a cataclysmic event heading, whether it's from asteroids coming down from Nibiru's path or a gravitational disruption, one or the other, I imagine that there's not only a cover-up, but also layer upon layer of disinformation to keep people looking in the wrong place.
Well, you're absolutely right. People are being kept looking in the wrong place. There's a tremendous amount of disinformation, and I see it all the time. Now, there's folks that, you know, want to have their 15 minutes of fame. They're absolutely certain they've got a dead bang photo. And, you know, a lot of times it's just lens flares, other things that can be easily tested. I do, in my videos, I go to great length to explain how to you know, how to go and look at this stuff. And, you know, still the same. I mean, people will still send me a lot of pictures. And typically what they're doing is they're just flipping stuff at me. You know, it's like, I'm not going to do my own homework. Here it is. Tell me what it is. And it's like, well, how about giving me something that is really going to be useful? How about some provenance? How about somebody actually saying, my name is so-and-so. I was in this place at this time, looking at this direction. I looked up at the sky. I saw something near the sun. I got my camera out and took a picture of what I saw. That is the kind of report you want. But 99.99% of the stuff that's out there is crap. All right. And a lot of it is being posted up there, frankly, by paid disinformationalists. So nobody knows what to trust or believe or how to evaluate it. So what you have to do, the one thing that disinformation operatives are not going to give you is provenance. Who took it? Where? When? Why? What caught their attention? How they saw it? What do they see? I want to see somebody says, I took a picture of this. I saw the object at the sun's 1 o'clock. And here's the picture that does that. Okay.
Not only that, but you would imagine that if there was a group of people, for instance, who saw something in the sky, everybody has a cell phone in this day and age. If we had a series of photos from just two or three different people, that's all it takes, or two or three different cameras from the same vantage point filming the exact same thing, I would say that is scientific proof beyond the reasonable doubt that we are actually looking at an object and not something else.
Yeah. You want to have some solid proof. But if you think you're going to get solid proof right now from an agency of the government or any professional astronomers, no. There's one site called, what was it, Somebody's Bones, and they published a disclosure interview by someone who's an astrophysicist with MIT. And I read it, and frankly, I've worked with whistleblowers. And what I was reading is the kind of language I would expect to hear from a genuine whistleblower. Okay. Nobody can find any information about this person. And that's also consistent with someone breaking their non-disclosure agreement, because the first thing that happens when you bust your ND and go public is all public records of you just vanish like methane in the breeze. You become a non-person. And so that, what do people do? You know, they go, well, can't find it. He's not a real person. Can't find anything about him on the internet. And so they go through all that, but getting more to the point of something else that you've made reference to, Chris, and I think you've got a really good handle on it, is that it goes to the question of why all of the suppression and disinformation? Why are they doing this? All right. Fair question?
Fair question. Absolutely.
Very fair. Yeah.
All right. It's real simple. The vast majority of the population lives along or near a shoreline. If they are going to be convinced to stay in place and not relocate to more survivable areas, they're going to die from impact events in the ocean, which will create tsunamis, earthquakes that'll create tsunamis, and the pole shift, which will be completely devastating. And so the whole point of it, that's the reason why there's all this disinformation. That's the reason why it's all the suppression. Because the agenda is to get billions of people dead. And folks have as hard a time understanding this and accepting it as the world did, you know, when Hitler was coming to power. And there were people who knew what he was going to do, that they could see this guy moving towards concentration camps and killing millions of people in a factory style. But nobody could believe that anybody would actually do that. Well, Hitler did it. All right. It's this mass Agenda 21, you know.
Well, that lines up with a lot of the depopulation white papers, the Georgia Guidestones. There's many different places that point to a depopulation agenda.
Yeah. This is, they're doing it, you know, the Georgia Guidestone says keep population under 500 million. Doesn't say how we get there.
Right. And I'm wondering, though, if they said that not as a, hey, let's kill 7.5 billion people. It was more of a, after this catastrophe happens.
It says maintain
the population.
The population.
Let's start over. Yeah.
We'll be right back. Much more with Marshall Masters right here on Beyond the Veil. Maintain humanity under 500,000. In perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love. Seek harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. And this is written in many different languages on the Georgia Guidestones. Nobody knows who commissioned the Guidestones, but from my best recollection, they were erected sometime in the 70s or the 80s, maybe even later than that. So they're fairly new, so it's not an ancient message left for us to decode. But the most chilling, obviously, is maintain humanity under 500,000. Now, there's some other questionable guides here. Balance social duties with personal rights. Now, personal rights is the most important thing, and that should be protected at all costs. But there are some good pieces of advice here, some that I agree with. Disputes of nations should be settled in an world court, as opposed to waging war against one another. Who left these guidestones and why? That's the big question. I remember last year or the year before, somebody added a stone to the Guidestone and then removed it. It was reported later that it was a hoax, but a lot of people believe that it was the start or completion of one phase entering another. But again, maintain humanity under 500,000. Maintain humanity under 500,000. I'm sorry, 500,000. Oh, 500 million.
Yeah, 500 million.
Half a billion. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. maintain humanity under 500 million. That is a very, very small number.
Well, compared to what we have now, but if you look at the amount of people that we have in the world right now, like you said, Marshall, most of them do live in coastal areas, but also not only that, a majority of the world lives on less than $2 a day. And so they're not in a position where they could move anyway. Even if the government or some kind of agency came forward with this information, let's say Russia or somebody with, you know, the heart for humanity actually came out and said this, what do you think would happen if an agency would come forward with this information?
Well, if it's going to come forward with the information, then people are going to have a choice as to what they're going to do. For me, I come from the old school of journalism. The best place for the truth is out where everybody can see it. And then folks can deal with it. However, the real agenda, why the lies, why the suppression is not because, you know, they say, well, there's, you know, there's not enough to go around for everybody and all of these other things. What it really boils down to is enslavement of the species. We have really, you know, we're 7.5 billion souls, and it's difficult to control that many people. What the elites are really planning on doing and why they want to see the death toll is that they want a small pool of survivors afterwards. I mean, come on, you whittle us down to 250 million. All you got to do is give us a case of Ripple wine and some Viagra. We'll work wonders. Okay. we breed prodigiously. And what they are doing is they are stockpiling vast inventory of goods. And what they're going to do is at an appropriate time towards the end of the tribulation phase, they're going to come up and they're going to say to the survivors, looky what we have for you. And then that's when they're going to say, we got the, you know, obviously everybody knows about the Doomsday Seed Vault, things like that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. They got a lot more in the way of goodies. Well, the point here is if you have a whole lot of goodies and you got to spread those around 7.5 billion people or 5 billion people or 4 billion people, well, that's not going to go real far. That's not going to be a huge motivation. But if you have 250 million to a half a billion people, and you have all these supplies where you can offer them several months of food and sustenance, medicines, construction materials, clothing, so forth, now you have a powerful inducement. So what are they going to do? They're going to say, you know, looky what we brung you. This is all for you. We have all of this for you, the ones that survived all of this. There wasn't enough to go around for everybody, and we knew it. And just for the ones that survive, and everyone's, okay, fine, you know, they'll probably go with that. And then they say, now, if you want it, all you got to do is take the chip. That is when it's Mark of the Beast. You're going to get an RFID chip, and it's going to be implanted in your hand, or it's going to be a thermal imprint tattoo on your forehead. If you're in, you know, for infants, it will be at birth in the soft part of the skull at the top of the head. It'll be injected into that area so it's permanent and never comes out of the child's, you know, that's it. You have it for life. There's no way to remove it. Now, these chips, these transponders, and they're really not transponders is what you have in an airplane, and it's sending out a signal and says, here, this is me, this is where I am. All right. Well, at one level, these are transponders, but really what they are, multi-mode, multi-frequency transceivers running on multiplex operations. So they're sending and receiving on multiple frequencies. And they're not only going to be locating, helping elites know exactly where you're at, but then they're going to be able to broadcast transmissions, and your chip will pick it up and it'll start programming your mind, your thoughts, your thinking. The effect that people are going to have, that's going to be very pleasant. It's essentially going to be electronic Prozac. And folks are just, you know, they're going to go into la-la land. They're not going to have any great concerns. You ask people that are on Prozac and Soma and these kinds of drugs. Oh. You know, they just don't get worked up. You can't when you're on those drugs.
Oh, let me tell you something, Marshall. They found 12% of water in Los Angeles has Xanax in it, and 18% of them have oxycodone in the water supply as well. So painkillers and anxiety meds in people's water. I mean, I think we're already there. I think people are so tuned into like their what's going on their phones and stuff that they are not paying attention to their family, their friends, even their own concerns about day-to-day life are all electronic now. So I think we're pretty much already there.
Stay tuned. We'll find out what we can do in the final segment of Beyond the Veil. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the final portion of the journey this evening. And a quick thank you to everybody tuning in tonight. We have had an incredible show. In the first hour, Jeffrey Seelman joined us. We talked about exorcisms and the afterlife. In the second hour, the science of the soul with Brooks Agnew. And now we are getting a Planet X update with the one and only Marshall Masters. Now, Marshall, I understand what can happen and the horrible things that can happen. What can we do to prevent it? Where's the hope in this situation?
Well, the hope is in taking action, all right? What you have to understand is that people are really being set up to fail. You know, if you go back to the Great Depression, what people who went through that, if they were children, they would remember. They'd be very old now. But this was a time of terrible hardship, but people had hope for the future. They firmly believed that things would improve, and things did improve. They had hope. What we don't have anymore is that same hope for the future. And if you look at our media and how negative and depressing it is, what we're seeing in movies, you know, The Hunger Games really broadcasts a message of why fight? You know, you're just going to wind up getting another round of the same ugly thing again. And so there's a lot of hopelessness and despair that's programmed into us, and we get distracted. We're not really, you know, tough, survivor-minded, and it's very easy to get into what I call planning and preparation paralysis. This is something I see a lot of with the folks that follow my work. And they're constantly going, where's the latest picture of Nibiru? Where's the latest picture of Nibiru? And they're looking at this and they're looking at that and they're going here and they're going there. And then I ask them, what are you doing about planning and preparation? Nothing. And inevitably what they're saying is, well, I can't afford beans, bullets, and bunkers, so why should I care? Or their grandparents and their children and grandchildren or think they're nuts. So there's all of this. They get into a hopeless funk, and they don't want to do anything. What you have to understand is the minute you do that, the minute you agree to give up hope, that you just feel like the elites have beat you and there's nothing to be done for it, then they've beaten you because you gave them your power as an individual. So the first thing you have to do is decide, okay, what am I going to do as an individual? And if I can't afford bullets, beans, and bunkers, what do I do? Well, that's the whole basis of what we're teaching people now. My wife and I started Knowledge Mountain, all right? And this is a non-denominational teaching church. And because really the first thing you have to do is you do have to walk with Creator. You know, science is going to lead you. If it's science alone, it's going to lead you to desperation and despair. And if you are walking humbly with God, you're going to find you have a lot more strength to endure what's going on, and you're going to see a purpose because you're going to survive in service to others. That is the thing. I am teaching now survival networking for people who can't afford everything. The premise is simple. If you can't afford a mountain of beans, become worth your weight in beans.
Ah, right? Very nice.
And that's what you have to do. There are things that you can do and to make yourself valuable to any survival community. There are people that you can network with that maybe they don't you know, they don't see Nibiru right now, but they're in the right frame of mind. It's like bicycling with somebody that's got trainer wheels on their bike. You don't have trainer wheels, they do. 99% of the world is telling you you're crazy for being on a wobbly contraption. But, you know, these other folks, they're sincere. They're in service to others. They're volunteering their time. They're doing all kinds of wonderful things. You know what? When the guacamole hits the fan, off come the trainer wheels. So there's an awful lot people can do if they'll only stop despairing and giving their power to the elites and just saying, okay, you beat me. You know, that's all. You just beat me. So, and then I get these, you know, this nonsense bravado of, well, you know, I just want to know where I can pull up a lawn chair and an igloo cooler, and I'll be right there in a ground zero, and I'll die quickly, you know?
I've heard that often than not. Marshall, where can people...
That's naive bravado.
Where can people sign up for these classes, or where can people find more of your work?
What you can do is at yowza.com, YOWUSA.com, you can look at the top where it's relocation webinars. And I work with folks online, whether, you know, and my philosophy is if you look no further than money, I don't care how much money you have, you've really limited your choices. If you look beyond money, and that's no longer a factor, you have a universe of possibilities and things that you can do to not only survive, but to do so in a very meaningful way. So I work with folks there. We also have our Knowledge Mountain Church of Perpetual Genesis, which I started with my wife, Jennifer. And, you know, this is for people, typically the folks that belong are the ones that have, you know, you ask them how many churches and study groups have been kicked out of because of the questions you're asking, and they start laughing, you know. And, you know, these are the ones that typically come. Now, if your core faith ain't broken, don't fix it. You know, we just fill in the gaps for people that have an interest in knowing and, you know, want to network with others, find like-minded others, start on the business of survival. And you got to do something every day. And going on YouTube to find the latest and greatest yada yada picture is not doing you squat. And one of the things I tell folks, it really annoys them. I say, you know, when it does happen, the last thing you want to do is say, I knew it was coming. And then they're going to say, well, what did you do to prepare? Well, I didn't do anything because I had this excuse and I had that excuse and I had the other excuse. And what will happen is you're going to be around a whole bunch of people that are batshit crazy. And one of them is going to step out of the crowd and go, this is happening because you manifested it with your insanity. If we kill you, the manifestation goes away. And next thing you know, you have people with PhD titles are saying, get a rope, get a rope, get a rope. And that's it. You're dying badly at that point because they probably don't know how to tie a good hangman's knot. And so if you are in awareness and you know what's coming and you're not preparing, keep your mouth shut and do the best you can to die well. That's the only advice I can give you.
Very well said. Marshall, we have about 40 seconds left, actually about 60 seconds left. What would you like to leave the audience with?
Surviving this is not about holding on to things. It's about holding on to each other.
Beautifully said.
That is beautiful.
That is perfect, actually. So thank you very much for joining us, especially last minute like this. Like I said, it's been a while since we've gotten an update on Nibiru, and I think the words that you spoke this evening were very, very wise, and I think a lot of people needed to hear it.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Happy to be of service.
Give us your websites one more time, please.
YOWUSA.com. You can also get there, MarshallMasters.com, and our Knowledge Mountain Church of Perpetual Genesis is KnowledgeMountain.org.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in this evening. We'll see you next weekend right here on Beyond the Veil. Special thanks to Jeffrey Seelman, Brooks Agnew, Marshall Masters, Brap Allgood, Lucky, everybody who takes care of everything at TFR, all of the great hosts here too. It really is an incredible journey. We love you.
Love you guys. We will.
Thank you for traveling with us this evening. Meditate on your experience. And remember, reality is merely an illusion. Thus, we wish you pleasant dreams. www.beyondtheveilradio.com
The Weather Channel unveils its Las Vegas casino. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Cable TV giant The Weather Channel announced plans today to bring the excitement of flood watches and tornado warnings to Las Vegas by opening the world's first weather-themed casino. The Grand Advisory will be the first gaming facility ever to allow patrons.
And he was able to name his entire...
The Baker Show. The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph. Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo. The Christopher Ever...